Okay, everybody, so I want to welcome you back to this week's edition of the Chelan Chavur, and it seems like every time we get into it, we go COVID, which is good. Thank God we're not getting COVID, and hopefully that's the way it just continues. But as we're talking, it's important for us to perhaps look at modern times, and that's what we like to look at. So tonight, I want to offer you the benefits of the best of two exciting questions. Actually, one is a little bit more general. The other one literally happened, and I was in on part of it. And we'll see which one you guys pick. Maybe we'll get to both of them. We'll see how much time it takes. But one, actually, I'll share a little bit of a background story. A certain community was recently blessed with two boys born a few days apart. The community is a bit out of the way and doesn't have the facility to host a moel for the time being due to COVID restrictions. The first baby enters the age of Mila on Thursday, so the first baby's bris is supposed to be on Thursday. The second, next Monday. So the mole is going to have to find a way to spend 4 days there. And he basically says it's not happening. So here's the question. Should the first father delay the bris of his son to Monday so that a mole can come and do both bris and on the same day? Or perhaps having the bris on time is more important, and the second one should be delayed until a later, as yet to be specified, time when the mole can return to do the bris on the second child? That's question number one. And question number two is the following. Mazel tov, a new baby was born. Unfortunately, the baby's father, who was tested on his way into the hospital, was found to be COVID positive. As a result, he needs to quarantine and will miss the bris of his new son. Actually, the bris is going to take place in his home, but his quarantine is in the basement, and he will not be there to take part in the actual bris. So here's the question. Can he recite the bracha of Lachniso Bevriso Shel Avram Avinu, which is one of the two brachos that are recited at a bris? Should somebody else do it perhaps instead? And what about honoring a grandparent who also can't be at the bris, but he can attend over Zoom? Can he make the brachos after the bris? You know, we make a bracha Baruch Pri Agaf and the bracha of Asher Kidash Yedin Mibeten. And or can he name the new baby all by not being present? So two bris questions this week, both obviously related to the parsha, simply based on bris mila, which appears in the parsha, both COVID related, one about delaying the bris in the area where the mole can't stay, and which bris do we push off? And the other one is a question for the father who can't come. Any preferences? Anyone bored because you don't like either of the two questions? Go ahead, Dina.
I don't see how number two is even a question.
Why?
Because
number two is three questions.
Right, but when do we do any brachos over Zoom?
Okay. You're not physically present, right? What about the baby
Nina?
Maybe yes, maybe no. So maybe because Dina doesn't see anything as a question, maybe we'll start with that one and we'll see if we have time to go backwards to the first one. How about that? Okay? So let's start at the beginning. This is actually the question I was, for a change, hoping that you guys would select, because I got a really funky story to tell you. So sure enough, I have a guy I know. He's a Rebbe in Lakewood. A wonderful guy. Got married late, had a daughter the first time he got married, after the first child after the marriage, and he's very excited. His wife's expecting number two, and he's on his way into the hospital right the week of Pesach, because I remember the bris is supposed to be over Pesach, and he calls me in a panic, in tears. If you remember how things were going before Pesach, it was a pretty scary time for all of us, and he's in tears, literally tears, which many of my patients were at that point in time. So I pick up the phone. How you doing, Rabbi so-and-so? He says to me, miserable, my wife had a boy. Which is not usually what you expect to hear when you hear miserable, my wife had a boy. So he said, mazel tov. He says, slow down, I'm COVID positive. I said, how do you know? He says, I found out in the hospital. I said, what? He says, yeah, basically, we're on our way into the hospital and I tried so hard. He says, I was so careful. I didn't go near anybody. I still don't know how I wound up. So he tells me, and I think sometimes he sneaks in so to listen to these eventually. So no, I'm not talking about you if you're the guy. If you think it's you that I'm talking about, no, it's not you, right? But basically, he tells me he's in crisis now. Why is that? He is now going to miss the bris of his first son. And literally, Mama, she will be in the basement, and the bris will be going on upstairs, and he can't do anything in the brassas. So we had a whole conversation. Our approach there was more therapeutic, but it raised a lot of questions. And since it was Yantif, he didn't raise any of the Zoom questions. So Dina, you know, actually, I decided to throw a little bit further, a little more into the game. But let's try to figure out what's what and where's where. So Dina has already gone on record as saying, since when can we make brachos over Zoom? Right? Since when? Never heard of such a thing before. Right? Except for the fact that we do make brachos over Zoom. We don't have any potency. Right? But, you know, I have a lot of rabbinic colleagues who throughout, including the menahel of our school, right, who had kids davening over Zoom. Now, can we say Dvarim Shebekdusha that need a minion if the whole minion is over Zoom? Absolutely not. In order to be able to have a minion present, which is not our discussion tonight, there you cannot go ahead and proceed. But I think once upon a time we discussed, did we not, whether one answers Amen to a bracha that one hears over Zoom? Or is that an Amen Chatufa? To go back and check if we covered that question, right? But it's generally understood that if you hear a bracha over Zoom and it's within a certain time frame, at least my Rebbeim were of the opinion that one should answer Amen to such a bracha. The bracha is being recited and you're hearing the other end of it. I'm not so sure if Shlomo Zalman would agree. Rav Shlomo Zalman felt you weren't hearing the bracha to begin with. Rav Shachter, Rav Asher Weiss, and others were of the opinion it's close enough, you should be able to answer. I think we had that discussion. We talked about the shul that was breaking the rules. Remember? The shul that broke the rules, and they need you to be a part of the minyan. So there is a Gemara in Shabbos. The Gemara in Shabbos on Daf Kuf Lamed Gimel Amid Beis tells us that there is at that time there are brachos that are made when a baby has his bris. What are the two brachos, says the Gemara? You make the bracha al amila and the bracha al achniso bevriso shel Avram Avinu. Those are the two things that you do. And we are told that the responsibility for those two brachos is given over primarily to the father. Meaning what? The father gets the option of making the brachos, right? It's his brachos, he owns them, he's the one who has the mitzvah mila. If he passes it over to the moel, so then the moel should make the bracha al hamila, which is why we don't say limol es, lomol es beno, because of course, only the father has the mitzvah to do the bris on the day in of itself. But the bracha lachniso bevriso shel Avraham Avinu, it's the father's bracha. And why is that? So the post can point out it's because he has the bigger responsibility. Now in Yerideya, in Simon Rei Samachei, the Rama comments and says, if it should so happen that the father is not present, then someone else should make the bracha. Somebody there should make the bracha of lachniso bevriso shel Avraham Avinu in his stead. So this Rama becomes a little bit hard to understand. Why so? Because most of the time we assume that the father is not there. If we're living in the 1500s, we assume that means that he has no idea that he had a baby boy, right? He has no idea that's why he's not there, not that he knows and he's down in the basement, you know, next to Joe Biden or whatever he's doing down there, right? You know, he's not down in the basement. He's somewhere in another side of the world. So the real question is, does somebody make the bracha of lachniso bevriso or not? And the Rama seems to suggest if nobody's there, if the father's not there, then someone else should make the bracha. And then whom would you select to make that bracha? Who at the bris should take that responsibility? Who would you choose?
Josh, could be the male. Huh? Could be a male, could be a grandfather, a relative.
Okay, why each one?
Why each one? Well, first of all, we have to understand that due to the circumstances, there'd probably be a limited amount of people. So everything is done differently. So if you don't want people moving around and getting too close to each other, whoever's already in has to be near.
Sorry, I'm not talking about COVID yet because you just passed in the. I'm talking right. about a situation. The father's stuck in Taiwan. He was supposed anyway. To come home in time for the bris, and his flight got delayed. Right, he's not going to be at the bris, mm-hmm. and he's not going to have contact.
I saw this in a MASH episode.
Right. So, That's exactly right. I think I remember the episode. And I think having Father Mulcahy make the brachos was wrong l'chol adeos, right? I think that was who made the brachos again. And I think you're right. Father Mulcahy making the brachos was completely wrong, right? So let's go backwards, though, right? Making the brachos, making the birchas hamila. So you said maybe the moel, maybe the sandek. Whom and why?
So if the father is not in the same room and that causes a problem for him to make the brachos, then anyone in the room could act as his shliach.
Okay, so the big issue over here is shlichus. Now, if the father's not showing up to appoint anybody as a shliach, forget about our case for a minute, just in general, right? The tour seems to understand if the father's not there, so then who has the responsibility to do the bris at that point in time? Beis Din, representing the community. Right, so the sandek therefore is the shliach of the Beis Din, and so the Torah says the sandek should be the one to make the bracha. So Rav Yudai Gon is quoted by Rabbi Peretinsky, who happened to have been my moel in 1974, right? Who wrote a wonderful work on Bris Mila called Sefer Abris, and so he quotes Rav Yudai Gon, who says no, the bracha lachniso b'vriso is only the fathers, and if there is no father, the bracha shouldn't be said. Rashi and the others in the Hagos Maimonides also say, if there's no father, there's no bracha. But a lot of other people disagree. The Magen Avraham disagrees and says that, look, the moel is the shliach of the father. The moel has already been appointed shliach. How so? He's the one who's doing the mitzvah that really should be the father's mitzvah. So why would you appoint somebody else to step in to go ahead and make the brachos? Let the moel be the one to make the brachos. Let him take care of the situation. That's cited by the Magen Avraham in Siman, tough lamed beis vav, and so therefore the shliach is a shliach of the father. Let the moel make the brachas. But Rabbi Kiva Eger and Chubas Rabbi Kiva Eger Simon Mem Beis says he doesn't understand how somebody could be a shliach for a bracha that he's not there, that he himself is not there to hear. In other words, Rabbi Kiva Eger says, wait a second, where do you have a mitzvah to make a bracha unless you're doing something afterwards? The bracha of lachniso bevriso shel Avraham Avinu, we don't have a shliach for that. So the whole idea of saying you are my messenger doesn't make sense. You're not. If I'm davening in shul and I don't know how to daven, so then I appoint the chazan to be my in my stead, but I still have to be there using the principle of shomea kaone. So Rabbi Kiva Eger is of the opinion that that's true when I'm fulfilling a mitzvah and I'm there to benefit. I just don't know how to make the bracha. But if I'm not there at all, who ever heard of having such a thing that you'll be my shliach to make the bracha? And so therefore, he doesn't understand that concept at all. Now, that's all true and fine and wonderful background when the father's not going to be present. And maybe that's what the Rama was talking about when the Rama said, oh, the father's not present, right? Then somebody else should make the bracha. He's not making the bracha, according to Rabbi Akiva Eger, as a stand-in for the father. He's making the bracha as a representative of the Beis Din. And like Josh said, really technically anybody in that room could be the representative, just some people a little bit more identified. Perhaps the moel, more likely the sanduk, because after all, he's handling the direction of the bris mila. Okay, so now that would be wonderful and fine. And if I took the Ramah literally, right, literally at its literal value, we would be able to turn around and we would say that, you know, that's probably what we should do. Have the moel, have somebody at the bris make the bracha of lachniso bevriso. Why? Because the father's not there. However, it should be pointed out that is a real problem because that's not what the Rama is talking about. In our case, the father can be very much aware of the mitzvah, of the bris. And so it leads us to a different question. And what is that question? We have different types of brachos. What types of brachos do we have? Well, some brachos we recite when we perform a mitzvah. What type of bracha is that? We call those birchas ha-mitzvah. We have another different category of mitzvah. And what is of bracha? And what's that? When you make a shahakol, are you making a bracha on a mitzvah? No, you're making something called a birchas ha Shevach, a bracha of praise. Can somebody else make a bracha of praise for you? Not unless he's joining, right? So here's my question to you. when I make a bracha of lachniso bevriso shel Avraham Avinu, is that actually a mitzvah? Is it a birchas hamitzvah or is it a birchas hashavach? Right? So according to the Rashbam in Psachim, he holds that it's a birchas hamitzvah. All right? And so therefore, you have to make it over la'asiyasan. What does it mean, over la'asiyasan? You'd have to make it before the bris. Right? According to Rabbeinu Tam, it's a birchas ha-shevach. You have to first have a bris happen in order for you to thank God for the process. And the Shulchan Aruch and Simon Reish Samachei Aleph seems to say that we do make the bracha of lachniso between the first step of the bris, called the amila, and the second step, called the priya, the breaking of the membrane on the inside. Why? Because we're not so sure what to do within the process, right? And the Rosh in Masechta Shabbos says, well, there's an important thing for us to consider over here. He says, you have to understand, the bracha lachniso bevriso shel Avraham Avinu is not specific to the mila that's going on in front of us right now. What the bracha is about is the fact that I'm thanking God who told us to do this mitzvah when we get the chance to do the mitzvah, right? And that we should do the mitzvah because Hashem told us to do the mitzvah. But it's not specific to the moment right now. And Iran says something similar as well. So if that's the case, I have the Rashbam on one hand, and I have the Rush and others on the other hand, the Rush, the Ran, etc., as to what type of bracha we would be reciting. So if I hold, like the Rashbam, that it's a birchas hamitzvah, then you need to make the bracha lachniso bevriso when you are at the actual mitzvah. If you're not at the actual mitzvah, how do you know the right moment to make the bracha? You're not present observing the mitzvah. And so therefore, according to the Rashbam, a person would not be able to make the bracha lachniso bevriso unless he is at the bris. And so therefore, that would explain that interpretation of the Ramah, who says only if you're there do you make the bracha. If not, have somebody else take care of it. But if the father is present and aware that a bris is taking place because a mitzvah is going on at that moment, he's just not standing on top of the situation, could he recite the bracha lachniso bevriso shel Avraham Avinu? But in other words, he knows the mitzvah is going on. He's on the telephone, right? Or he's watching it through Zoom. Or he hears it from the door, as in the case of my patient on the second day of Yontif. I think it was the third day. I think it was the third day was a Shabbos. Right? So I think it was the third day, actually. So he can therefore recite the bracha lahachniso bevriso shel Avraham Avinu from the doorway. And that certainly seems to be the position that was brought by Hagona Rav Asher Weiss in the name of Hagona Rav Elyashiv. That the father himself, because he is reciting what we call a birchas hashemach, paskening like the Ran and the Rush, and he knows that he's praising God for something he's doing right now. He's aware that on his behalf, Mila is being done, and so therefore he is allowed to go ahead and recite the bracha in that situation, right? He can make the bracha if he knows at that moment the Mila is going on. But that only takes care of the first of the three parts of our question. What was that part of the question? We said, can he go ahead and recite the bracha over Zoom? Says Rav Asher Weiss, of course, he can certainly make the bracha. Why is that? He's aware through the Zoom or through the door or through the, you know, through the phone, whatever connection he has, that the bris is going on. And even if the minion is not able to respond amin to the bracha, he's allowed to make the bracha, and he should under those circumstances. So suggests Rav Elyashiv, so suggests Hagona Rav Asher Weiss, so suggest many of the poskim. Then the question comes up, what do we do about those other brachas? Right? Asher Kidashi did mi beten, Bori Priya Gafen, right? Naming the baby. So now what do you think? Now that we are reclassifying, let's take a look at those. Can I have Grandpa recite the bracha through Zoom? Well, can Grandpa make Bori Priya Gafen?
Well, are there some brachos that have to be at the bris in the same room as the bris? Yeah,
yes, but that one's not under discussion. The moel has to make the bracha alamila. There's no question that that cannot be recited from a distance on Zoom. I think we can agree to that, right? But what about these two brachas, right? Asher kidashi did mi beten is not a birchas hamitzvah. Can it be done over Zoom? Right? Bor pri agafen. As long as grandpa's holding a cup of wine, why can't he make bor pri agafen? No? What do people think? Come on, the recording's not picking up your happy faces. Right? Yes or no?
Is the bracha, is the bor pri agafen for the one making it, or is it somehow related to the child?
So if your name is Bruce Stranda, right? The answer is it's being made for the baby because, you know, Bruce stands at the bris. He used to until the coronavirus. He would stand by and he'd be the guy who would stick the gauze into the wine. And when the moel got to v'amalach b'damayachayi, right, he'd make sure that the baby would be sucking wine. I call him the official bris anesthetologist. He's the anesthesiologist of all bris, and he gets all the babies drunk. Right, that's the Bruce job. He works very well with many Moalim, but he has a particular affinity of working with Rabbi Zions, right? So, but theoretically speaking, the one who makes the Bor Pri HaGafen should be holding the cup of wine. We do a lot of mitzvahs where it's like, you know, in order to add to the significance, we do it on a kos. So here also, maybe grandpa should be able to make the bracha on the kos of wine. Maybe he should be able to go ahead and do such a thing, right? No. So I have to tell you that Rav Asher Weiss took a look at this shaila, and so did my Rebbe, Rabbi Willig. And both of them started off in one direction. And they kind of said, like, yeah, theoretically speaking, it shouldn't be a problem. Right? After all, grandpa, usually we want to be mechabed grandpa or a certain Rosh Hashiva to have a chance. In Elizabeth, we always are mechabed Moreno v'Rabbeinu or Rav Tites. And so why not? And then it dawned on me. Pre-corona, I never had a suffix, never, about calling Rav Tites on the phone and telling him, okay, we're done with the Mila, like when Rav Tites was in Eretz Yisrael for all those months in the middle of the winter. I never dreamed once of calling him in the middle of a bris and telling him, okay, Rabbi, you know, they're ready for you now, turning the phone on speaker and going with the Bor Pri HaGafen Asher Kidashi did me bad then. I never asked him about it. And I'm sure if I did, he'd probably burst out laughing, right? And he's like, I understand there's nobody else there. You don't know how to make brachos, right? And to be honest, whereas theoretically speaking, could it be done? Perhaps yes, right? But technically speaking, not all the posts can agree with that. The Tuol Shor, for instance, says let's say a Sheva Brachas. It's a similar idea. Let's say we're all sitting around. I remember when this one came up, the Shalav Sheva Brachas came up, right? We're all sitting around on Zoom having a big, big Sheva Brachas, 500 people. I did a wedding, you know, I did two weddings in the midst of the slowdown of the first wave of the coronavirus. So of course there were heavy restrictions and there were a limited number of people allowed to be at the exact event. I think the limited number was under 50. And we went to Massachusetts for the wedding and I get under the chuppah and staring me in the face is this huge screen, right? And in it I see, you know, a number of rabbanim, all of whom really should have been standing under the chuppah instead of me, right? And they're all staring me in the face, including one who was texting me, hey, cool. I was wearing a pair of black gloves. It was, hey, cool, can I get a pair like that? It was like one of those funny situations, right? Where I'm staring at all these people. Could I have called each one of those rabbanim up to make one of the Sheva Brachas? That would have been really cool now, wouldn't it? Right? And now, coming in from, you know, Timbuktu, Rabbi so-and-so, mechubed with the next bracha, right? Nobody dreamed of doing that because in order to be able to recite the Sheva Brachas, you've got to be with the Chasan and the Kala. And in order to make the Bracha Asher Kidashi Didmi Baten, and in order to recite the Bracha Bori Pri HaGafen in connection to the Bris, technically speaking, says the Tefuah, sure, you got to be there. And Rav Asher comes along and he says, I must tell you that I'm really concerned about something else. He says, even if I could make an argument not like the Tefuah Shor, do you know what's going to start happening now? Everyone, even post-corona, even if I could say, well, corona, we should be make of for the Zaydi here and the Zaydi there. Do you know what's going to happen immediately afterwards? People are going all over the world to get Reb Chaim Kanievsky. Poor Reb Chaim Kanievsky. He'll never learn another word, right? Because he's going to be on Zoom all day long making the bracha, Asher Kiddush Yedid Mi Beten. This is a man who can't even waste a minute to say bracha v'atzlacha and instead says,
Bua.
Bua. Right now, all of a sudden, you want him to say, but which Jew is he going to turn down to have opportunity to make Mea Brachos? It's going to be a brand new idea. Reb Chaim Kanievsky, he'll make your bris brachos for you. Only cost you $6.5 million, right? He'll be able to light up the entire B'nai Brak and then all the suburbs of B'nai Brak with all the people hiring him for the brachos. So Reb Asher said he thought that was a terrible, terrible idea, right? People are going to go ahead and ask it. It's going to cause a terrible problem. He says, so even if we could be Mekel in this particular situation because of corona, because we're going to be Mekel, we were being Mekel on so many other things, right? He doesn't recommend it. Naming the baby?
Is there a bracha there?
No. Good question.
So it shouldn't be a problem.
Okay. Dina? Moshe? Moshe's got her on silent. So I have to tell you, I'd like to answer that one rather easily. And what's that? I've named many babies over Zoom. Right? I did. There were a couple of girls who were born. In fact, we had a situation once where somebody who is living in the immediate area for a little bit of time and moved, had a baby without getting into the details, was talking to the rabbi in the community they were about to move to. They were just temporarily here. And they happened to have it's a big simcha. They had a baby early, so in the midst of the corona. And the rabbi there, for some reason, advised them, no, this will be over soon. Don't name the kids. Finally, at around the three-month mark, I told him, I think naming your child's, your daughter's one, you know, your child one or X, really did not really go over well unless your last name was Malcolm, right? Because then, you know, if it's X Malcolm, then you can say like she got a really cool name. So calling your kid baby X is like weird. Maybe you should give him a Yiddish Neumann, right? Yeah, give it so that, well, can we do that? The poskim were pretty clear. If it's going to be an extended period of time, name the baby, especially for a girl, right? That is such a process of going into Kedushas Yisrael. And we give a boy a Yiddish name at the bris. So you can certainly go ahead and name the baby over Zoom. Now, is it better or not better? Here already, I think we're playing a semantic game, right? As long as there's a tzibur out there to know we've named the child something significant, you've done a kriya shem. And so if it's important to Zaydi, right, because Nebuch, he feels so distant, so lost, because he's not able to be at the bris, if you want to go ahead and name the baby via Zoom. So Rabbi Willig was pretty clear to us, and I think Rav Asher would agree with him, that the naming by itself, that can be done over Zoom. Should it, you know, is that the first thing you should do? Is it not the first thing you should do? I think it's a little bit more open to a level of interpretation, but I don't think that there's any major problem with it within the process. So again, to sum, because Adina thought, when we started, Dina sort of said, oh, this is an easy question. I'm not so sure. To sum it up, we said, as far as the father is concerned, making the bracha of lachniso bevriso is a machlokas rishonim. We paskin la halacha, if the father is aware that the bris is going on and he can time it so that he's making the bracha at the right moment, like he's there over the phone or through Zoom or at the doorway in the case that this shit came up with, I think there's no problem. It's probably better for the father to recite the bracha in such a situation. Simply put, it's the father's bracha. And that certainly seems to be the psak of Hagona Rav Yashar Zatzal. And La'adu Benachayim, that was the psak that was offered by Maran Hagon Harav Asher Weiss. On the other hand, when we talked about the other brachos, Asher Kiddush Yedid Mi Beten, and the Bari Priya Gafan over there. So there we noted that those things really are sort of connected, maybe not 100%, but an argument should be made that those brachos should be connected to the people who are there to celebrate the bris. And Zaidi over Zoom, probably not a good idea, because then you wind up with a slippery slope. Putting this back into the context of the Shaila that I had, which was not the one Rav Asher was answering, at the same time that this guy was crying about his situation with his son's bris, right? That was also the time where we had people running around and asking, can I be a part of a Seder over Zoom? Which I must tell you, was a matter of major, major, major debate all over the world. And secretly from behind the secret files of the Vada Rabbanim of Greater Elizabeth, touched off an exciting conversation, at least in its initial stages. And the end of the day, Moreno Verabeno Arav Tait Shlita Paskin, obviously, along with most of the poskim in the world, that one should not do a Seder over Zoom and that one shouldn't leave Zoom on for a Seder. But Rav Asher at the time, said above everything else, he was very concerned about something he called the slippery slope. And Rav Asher, if you ever listened to him talk, that's one of his big fears in Pesukei Halacha, to be very careful if you're taking a kula because of a particular specific situation, that you have to make sure to do it with measure to make sure people don't come to make a mistake. We're all learning Erevin right now. And so we know also, Chazal were often very concerned. Effie Gluck made this point in our DAF review last night. And he said, Chazal were very concerned that people shouldn't come to be makel on certain things, because once you choose to be makel, because it's only Darabanan anyway, what winds up happening is people learn to forget. And we've had similar ideas brought down in Erevin also. And so the slippery slope idea is not just that willy-nilly we don't care. These are Gedolei HaPoskim who do know how to use kulas when it's appropriate. But it's a shita that makes sense in life. And so therefore, it was not recommended to take advantage of what could be a potential kula to have Zaidi make the brachos. He'll be fine just being part. You want to give him a kibud? So we said, naming a baby over Zoom is not the biggest crisis in the world. And like we quoted from Rabbi Willick, and I think it's pretty clear from the other postgame that we talked to as well, a person can certainly give the opportunity to name the baby over to the Zaidi, as long as everybody else is able to hear, so that everyone knows you got a nice Jewish name. And that way everyone can feel they're being mishtatev. It goes without saying, though, that if you're davening b'yechidus over Zoom, and it's your home and your space over here, but you know that there's a bris and you're going to be attending by Zoom, you still have to say tachna. Of course, in the case under discussion, they were exempt from tachna. And why was that? It was the month of Nisan. Tachna wasn't recited. Okay? All right. I think we're going to stop here. We'll save the other question for a different time, but just on one foot, because it was an interesting question. The basis of the other question is, we know one of the two brisin is going to have to be delayed. So when do we say to a person, delay yours so that somebody else can have? And when do we not say? And in the particular question, it really wasn't an issue because the community was flying them all in. So when there's a difference between an individual not performing his personal responsibility, when we say, mitzvah b'ali yadcha al tach mitzana, versus perhaps if there's a discussion for a tzibur that is paying for a mole to come for visit, which case we would say to ourselves, look, one of the two cases, one of the two brisin is going to not be bismana. So why not choose the one that we know will take less time? So, maybe your son's bris, the one who had the baby on Thursday, who should have the bris on Thursday, maybe that one will have to be delayed 4 days. But if that one brings the mole in, the other one could be delayed indefinitely till you get enough time to get them all to come back another time. Who knows how much time passes. And so therefore, in that case, it was suggested that perhaps the first one wait. But only, again, the discussion began because the one who was bringing them all was the community, not the individual. Okay, that's enough for this week, I think. And Bezrat Hashem, we'll have a wonderful Shabbos. We'll remember to vote next week. And we'll take things up again next Thursday night. Everyone, have a great Shabbos, and a big mazel tov to the Wangers who are celebrating the bas mitzvah of their granddaughter down in Atlanta this weekend. Okay, everybody, kol tov.
Thank you. Have a good night.
You too. Kol tov.